الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وعلى من استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. After the tamheed or the introduction of this book, in order to shorten our time and to get to certain important points, his tamheed or his introduction, which he outlines the importance of the issue, an outline of his whole methodology and the work that he has done and so forth. Some of that, inshallah ta'ala, perhaps in the future, can be looked into detail to read that part. But inshallah, what I hope to is get into the book where he begins to discuss, as his first study, getting into the research, talking about the reasons for al-ghulu that are connected with jahl. And as you remember before, this was one of the things out of several that he mentioned were reasons for it. So I think it is very good to go over some of these points. There are 10. Alhamdulillah, the first point which he mentioned as a cause for ghulu are al-jahl bil-kitab al-aziz. Al-jahl bil-kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran as a book of guidance for all people, and he has made it a light and a healing for what is in the breast, in the heart, in the chest. And he has put many evidences and proofs that are clear and that make things clear in this book, in this noble book of guidance and truth and good, and those things which will repel or that will keep away misguidance and evil and crookedness. Among these evidences or proofs are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, 2 ayat 123 and 124, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى فَمِنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Then if there comes to you guidance from me, then whoever follows my guidance, he shall neither go astray, nor shall be distressed. But whoever turns away from my reminder, that is, neither believes in this Quran nor acts on its teachings, verily for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of resurrection. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in his explanation of these verses, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here connected to whoever reads the Quran and follows whatever is in it, that they would never go astray in the dunya and that they would not be distressed in the hereafter. Qawla Allah ta'ala, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. In Surah Al-A'raf, Ayat number 3, another evidence, another delim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, say, O Muhammad, to these idolaters, the pagan Arabs of your folk, follow what has been sent down unto you from your Lord, and the Quran and the Sunnah, and follow not any awliya, protectors and helpers who order you to associate partners in worship with Allah beside him. Little do you remember. So Allah here orders the adherence or following of the Quran and staying away from those people who follow the false claimant or those awliya, protectors and helpers who order people to associate partners beside Allah, because indeed they just lead to destruction and misguidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ أَن تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَنزَلَ الْكِتَابَ عَلَى طَائِفَتَيْنِ مِن قَبْلِنَا وَإِن كُنَّا عَن دِرَاسَتِهِمْ لَغَافِلِينَ أَوْ تَقُولُوا لَوْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْنَا الْكِتَابَ لكن أهدى منهم فقد جاءكم بينة من ربكم وهدى ورحمة ف فمن أظلم ممن كذب بآيات الله وصدق عنها سنجزي الذين يصدفون عن آياتنا سوء العذاب بما كانوا يصدفون. Again from Surah Al-An'am, verse 155 to 157, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "And this is a blessed book, the Quran, which we have sent down. So follow it and fear Allah, that is, do not disobey His orders, that you may receive mercy, that is, be saved from the torment of hell. Lest you should say, the book was sent down only to two sects before us, that is, the Jews and the Christians, and for our part we were in fact unaware of what they studied. Or lest you should say, if only the book had been sent down to us, we would surely have been better guided than they, that is, the Jews and the Christians. So now has come unto you a clear proof, the Quran, from your Lord, and a guidance and a mercy. Who then does more wrong than one who rejects the ayat, the proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, and likewise of Allah, and turns away therefrom? We shall requite those who turn away from our ayat with an evil torment because of their turning away from these ayat." So what we can see here, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here in his book that he will give a reward to those who hold tight to the book, and that he will give a recompense to those who would reject the book, what they deserve, because of their turning away. And it is clear from these ayat that whoever does not affirm what the Messenger of Allah came with is indeed a disbeliever, whether it is because the person simply denies it, or is arrogant, or follows their desires. In any of these cases, the one who rejects what the Messenger came with is a disbeliever. Even if there are those who don't say that the Prophet ﷺ was a liar, but they don't believe in him, they're also disbelievers. It's an important point. So the denial to say that the Prophet ﷺ is lying, to say that what he's come with is not true, that's one point of disbelief. Another point of disbelief is just to reject him and not believe him in at all, period. Even if you don't say he's a liar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says this in many parts of the Quran, where he mentions those who go astray and deserve punishment among those who do not follow that which he has revealed. And indeed, even some people may have some type of point of view, or some argument, or some kind of logical rationale, try to rationalize what the Prophet ﷺ has come with. This is characteristic of the open kuffar, of the kuffar, and of the hypocrite. So you see, what he's saying here is that a person, a Muslim, if he hears ayat, and as in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, بَلَّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ ayah. Ayah or ayat are the signs, the revelations from Allah. Doesn't just mean verses in the Quran. And this is why it was translated such in this. There's also proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations. It includes this. So if one is to reject this from An-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the same as rejecting the Quran, because the Quran tells us we must adhere to it and must adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is important to remember, because of course we have people who claim they're following the Quran and they don't have to follow the Sunnah, which is insanity. So what he says, that the one who is neglectful in adherence to the Quran is sinful, very sinful, because of his neglect, as opposed to the one who struggles and who tries to understand the Quran. The one who is negligent of learning those things which he must with regard to the Quran and with regard to Iman is very negligent, and these people end up going beyond the bounds set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the correct path. They do things which Allah has forbidden, or they end up following their desires without following the guidance of Allah. Therefore, the person is fundamentally doing himself a wrong, and he's zalim nafsi before he's zalim to anyone else. And such a person is under the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's under threat, as opposed to the person who's struggling to obey Allah and his Rasul, who's struggling with himself internally, externally, trying to follow the truth, trying to do as much as he can of what Allah and his Rasul have ordered. Indeed, such a person, even if they make errors, because of their effort, Allah makes forgiveness for this person's mistakes. The Quran is indeed the foundation. It encompasses the Sharia. It encompasses the wisdom of Islam. There is no way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equal to it. There's nothing that compares to it. And there's no success for anyone except by it. It's a crime for the Muslims to be negligent of the Quran, if we look at these words and reflect upon them. And he says, all of this really doesn't require a whole lot of bringing forth of evidence after evidence. It's in other words, it's clear. And it's ma'loom min ad-deen. Min deen al-ummah bid-durura. I think you've heard this saying. Ma'loom min deen al-ummah bid-durura. Means something that's necessarily known by anybody who's a Muslim. Even non-Muslims know that the Muslims follow the Quran and should follow the Quran, even if they don't believe in it. So how much more so a Muslim? It's a necessary aspect of the deen. There's no excuse for that. Nobody can say, I'm Muslim, but I didn't know I had to follow the Quran. This is impossible. If such a person does this, indeed they're extremely ignorant. Someone wants to say, I became Muslim, but I didn't know that the Quran was our book. I didn't know Quran was our revelation. I didn't know Quran was what Allah told us to follow. At the least, you have to have a doubt in the person's Islam. What did the person accept? What did that person accept?
I was thinking more along the lines of like what you were talking about, how maybe somebody would accept Islam in a certain group or certain circle where the Quran is not stressed, pushed, or anything like that, and more the speech of the imam is, actually, I would be that it takes the place of the Quran, because if he says it, it's the law.
No.
It goes back to what you said about it.
It goes back again to those, to the ghulu, which people, for example, if they do that, that is exactly what the imam is talking about here when he's bringing forth this first point about jahl to the Quran. And the reason people are jahil is because of this type of cult-like personality following. When some individual tries to enforce their way and put their way forth getting precedence over what Allah and His Rasul say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِ يَدَيِّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So there's no, excuse for particularly that individual to call to himself or herself, to themselves, with regard to the people giving him and his words precedence over the Quran and the Sunnah. This should be a clear sign. And for sure, if we were to give some excuse to those people who ignorantly find themselves out of ignorance, they want to find Islam, but they find that the community or the place that they're in, those people who occupy the masjid, those people who are representing themselves as Muslims, are of this type. These type of mubtadi'een, without doubt, they are people of innovation. Without doubt, they are stray. They're ahl al-dalala, but ahl al-hawa. People who follow desires. There's no question about that. Even if we were to say they're still Muslim. Because the people who accept, maybe accept on the basis Allah and Prophet Muhammad, but they're misled by these individuals or by this leadership or by this person or whatever, an imam or a sheikh or murshid or whoever it is, who keeps enforcing his thing on them. And they unwittingly fall under his misguidance. But it's still misguidance, nevertheless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps may forgive the people. Perhaps not. Because it could be just like if someone enters into this deen or thinks he's entering into the deen, but whatever they're entering into is full of all types of things which contradict it. So it doesn't matter their claim. They come in, they say they're Muslim, but their people are teaching them that Allah came down in the form of a man. Or they're teaching them these kutub or these sheikhs control the universe and the affairs in the universe. Or they're teaching them that it's okay to beg this dead man over in a grave to provide for them. So no matter, none of this enters them into Islam, even if they may be sweet, nice people who have some type of intention in their heart. It doesn't make them Muslim. And this is the point. And so that's what I said initially, that at least we would say, a person who says, I don't know that we had to follow Quran, I'm Muslim, but I didn't know I had to follow Quran, we have at least, because Islam is doubtful. I didn't thrust him out, but Islam is certainly doubtful at the least. The Shaykh continues, and he says, it is ma'loom in al-deen al-umma bid-durur, and it's something that's necessarily known as part of the religion amongst this ummah, that anyone who wishes to know what the Sharia of Islam is, anyone who wants to understand the aims of Islam, they have to look at the Quran. They have to benefit from the Quran. They have to understand the Quran and reflect upon the Quran. This is absolutely necessary. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even admonishes, and He brings it to us in other, in several ayahs of the Quran, and one is from Surah Nisa, verse 82, where He says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدَ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافٍ كَبِيرًا. To translate the meaning, do they not then consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have surely found therein many a contradiction. Allah also says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكًا لِيُدَبِّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرُوا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Surah Sad, Ayat 29. This is a book which we have revealed to you, a blessed book, in order that they may consider its ayat and think, and those who will be reminded who are given insight. Ulul al-bad, those of knowledge. And Allah says also in Surah Muhammad in Ayat 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Have they not, or do they not consider the Quran, or are they locked upon their hearts? It's absolutely necessary for us to look at the Quran and try to consider the Quran and try to understand the Quran. We try to have a good understanding of the Quran, and we will see that the Quran supports itself, that it's truthful. The Quran is consistent. We will see that the Quran is full of benefits. Imam al-Tabari, in his tafsir of this verse, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not consider the Quran? He says, do they not consider what you say to them, Muhammad, about the Book of Allah? Do they not consider, do they not know or look at the argument, understand that Allah has established a proof upon them, and has established an argument upon them that obliges them to obey you and to follow your orders? He's saying that if these people would read the Quran, not just even listen rather to the statements of Muhammad alayhi salam, just looking at the Quran, it would be clear that they would be obliged to follow the Prophet alayhi salam. And do they not look that this thing was not revealed from Allah, that they would have seen all types of, you know, contradiction, incongruency in this, in its text and so forth, and that it would have been contradictory and going against itself? But they can't say that. Rather, when they look at it, they see that it's congruent, it's consistent, it supports itself. You know, it's a very interesting point that these scholars make as believers and as scholars. Because they're scholars, quote-unquote, Western, or not just Western, Orientalists, who try to put the doubt in the Quran. And I've read statements from them that I found totally amazing. And I have no choice, at least for me, to conclude except that they have an ill intent, and not an academic intent, not an objective intent. Because for the believer, when you read the Quran and your heart is open and it's clean, you get insight. You see the beauty in the Quran. Sometimes you can get it even from the translation. Sometimes you can get it even from translation. Sometimes a person that understands some of it, and just of the Arabic rather, and understand the beauty of it. So how could these Orientalists say that, let's be honest, every five verses don't make sense? If you read five verses, then it doesn't make sense. Wallahi, it's just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to me. That he taba'a ala qulubihim wa ala absarihim. He sealed, he put up some type of veil over these people's eyes and on their hearts. Because how could they make such a statement when, as a believer, you can look at it and it's crystal clear. It's not to say that everybody can read every part of the Quran and will understand all of the Quran right away. But it's very clear if one reads it in the proper manner that they get a lot out of it. So if you're not getting anything out of it, it's a bad sign. The sign is something has to be done to the heart. Because here these scholars who are masters of the Arabic language, they take time to look deeply into the Quran from so many different angles, and they make these statements. They're not just foolish and that's not just emotional statements. They're just not statements just so you blindly go about. They're telling you here, consider. The Quran itself telling you, consider. And what I'm saying, these Orientalists trying to say, well, the Muslims are basically trying to hoodwink you. And their scholars are basically trying to hoodwink the followers. By making them scared to death to think about and consider the Quran and possibilities. Well, now what they're trying to say, really, they want you to consider the possibility that it's not correct and that there's doubt in the Quran. And they can get away with that foolishness and falsehood with people who have no basis. They're not introduced to Quran. They don't know what Quran is. So they can write an intellectual thing or write an article and get it published, for example, in some fancy magazine or on the internet or in some journal. And the people who are uninitiated, who have no idea about the Quran, and perhaps even Muslims who have a superficial understanding of the Quran, may feel that there's substance to what these people have to say. Because they themselves might pick up the Quran sometimes and they, I don't get it. You understand what I'm saying? It is very dangerous. So it behooves us. Really listen to this, because he's saying this ignorance of the Quran, it leads to ghulu, and for sure, it even worse, it can lead people to out-and-out kufr. The Quran is the central thing, it's the important thing, it's absolutely necessary for us as Muslims to try to understand it. It really is. And we have to go about it the right way. And he continues after we get through this section, how the Quran is to be understood. And I refer also to tapes that we did here in this masjid last year about how to understand the Quran. He mentions here what must be also understood as far as this considering the Quran. In trying to understand it, one must ask the people of knowledge. Because the people of knowledge are those who can therefore take the veils off and uncover and show you what is the meaning of things. Give you the proper understanding. Or help you get to the proper understanding. This is what, indeed, the scholar's job is. So therefore, it's important to have trust in Islamic scholarship. And it's important for them to avoid concealing any knowledge. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لِتُبَيِّنَنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ سبحان الله. Surah Ali Imran, Ayat 187. It says in this verse, which is a lesson for us as Muslims, and remember when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture, Yahud and Nasara, to make it, and he says here, he puts in brackets, the news of the coming of Prophet Muhammad, and the religious knowledge, known and clear to mankind. Now this was a covenant. This was their job. Again, when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture to make it known and clear to mankind and not to hide it. But what did they do? They threw it away behind their back and purchased with it some miserable gain. And indeed, worse is that which they bought. We can testify to the fact that this occurs, that is, people hiding the knowledge of the scripture and trading it for miserable price, in other words, selling themselves, selling their principles out. We can testify to that occurring. And Allah makes these people blameworthy and mentions that they have a terrible punishment ahead of them because they have made a terrible trade, trading the truth for falsehood, trading their souls. Because Allah Ta'ala obligated them to bring the truth to the people, but they didn't. So this is the point of the Shaykh here. He's saying this same goes for Muslims, for Muslim scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this covenant from those people before us and before them. However, they chose the world. They chose the dunya. And for this, they indeed were humiliated. And in Surah Ali Imran, again, Surah Ali Imran, in verse 77, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Verily, those who purchase a small gain at the cost of Allah's covenant and their oath, they shall have no portion in the hereafter. Neither will Allah speak to them, nor look at them on the day of resurrection, nor will He purify them, and they shall have a painful torment. This is serious business. Because there's going to come a day where there won't be any shade except who Allah shades. And there's going to be the worst of torment for Ahl al-Nar. The worst of torment in the hereafter is for people not to be able to see the face of their Lord. And the greatest of ni'mas or bounties to the people of Jannah who get reward will be to see the face of their Lord. This is mentioned in the authentic hadith. And it's mentioned in the Quran. وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ زِيَادَ. And this is what it refers to. That the people, that the believers will see Allah. Nothing will compare to this ni'mah for them. But for this to be taken away, when people not just have this, will be the worst of punishment. So the ulama of the book, they have a great job, of course, by teaching the text and explaining it, making it clear for the people. Because indeed, the people indeed are in great need of the understanding of the words of Allah and its orders, the matters that are contained in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such as, one, the perfection and the superiority of the one who is speaking, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the strength of this miraculous nature of His words. And we find so much wisdom and depth in the smallest of words. Really, the Quran itself is not that big. The Quran isn't that big. Isn't that long, really? Yet in it is so much depth. The basis of civilization here, of people attaining levels of knowledge and achievement in all areas of life, right here in this Kitab. And it says here, it could be difficult for the reader sometimes to get to what is intended. Or his thoughts may be shortcoming. He may have a problem in fully comprehending something or completely comprehending it. So the tafsir makes it easier for him. So this is a great bounty. It's a necessity. That's what he's pointing here. How important it is for tafsir poor people. Second point he makes. That the Quran in general has come with rules. General ruling. And in principle. And as far as the details, this is what the Sunnah came with. And indeed, the Sunnah explains the Quran. Allah, for example, says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Right? Make the prayer, establish the Salah. In Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah. But the Sunnah comes, of course, telling us the time, and how many raka'ahs, and how to do it, and so on and so forth, right? So we see that the Sunnah is necessary to explain the Quran. And some scholars say that the Quran is more in need of the Sunnah than the Sunnah in need of the Quran. And what do they mean by that? Because the Sunnah contains the Quran. You understand that? That the body of the Sunnah, the words and the instructions and the guidance of Nabi alayhi salam, contains the Quran there. So you're going to get the Quran. Whereas if you just take the Quran alone, you're going to miss that which explains it and makes clear those things it orders to. This is something really that's lost upon those people who are astray and claim to follow the Quran only. It's just an impossible claim. Then he goes on, makes point three. Sometimes there may seem to be contradiction in the text depending on, you know, what's evident to the reader. So the scholar explains these texts and he shows what may seemingly be a contradiction. He rectifies that. He shows how to, for example, people don't understand how to put evidences together. And they don't understand the sequence of things often. They make mistakes. They read an ayah and they say, oh well, but didn't I read another ayah somewhere that said something else? And they become confused. So the scholar's job is to make these things clear, to show what is the truth. Four, he says also, sometimes you'll find in the Quran statements or ayat which seem to be shortened, or something is left out. And this is actually part of the art of balagha, of eloquence. But if you're not versed in that, you don't really know the Arabic language to that extent, or you don't know how the language is used in that way, you'll miss it. You're going to miss it altogether. So this is very important. The people are in need of those who will explain this hesitancy, yani this cutting off that may seem like something is cut here or something cut there. SubhanAllah, it's deep stuff. And five, fifth point he makes regarding ulama and getting in tafsir, and the importance of tafsir. Sometimes there's statements or expressions in the Quran, it's possible to have more than one understanding or more than one meaning. So definitely you are in need of someone who can tell you what is the intended meaning to point that out clearly to you, for sure. He says, in general, the people are in need of understanding the Quran and understanding the meaning of its ayat. And even the Sahaba sometimes have problems with ayat. Some of them might understand an ayat one way and others another way. For example, as Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, when he read the statement of Allah, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتِ الْأَبْيَضِ مَنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 187. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Ramadan and how to know when to dawn or when to be or to start eating and to begin the fast. And he says, until it becomes clear to you, the string, it says literally the string, and khayt al-abjad, is the white string from the black string of fajr, of dawn. So, Adi radiallahu anhu, he took a rope, a white rope and a black rope, and he held it up and looked at him, until he could see the distinction between the black and the white one. That's the way he understood it. And it's possible, right? Because of the wording. So, and Nabi alayhi salam had to explain it to him, what that meant. It didn't literally mean that. And there's other examples like this that show basically that the companion, the best of generations even, so much better than us, and so much better in the language, some of them, so much devoted to Allah and His Rasul, of course, more so than us, they need an explanation. So if they needed it, and they needed this kind of explanation and clarification, how about us? Surely we're in need of it far more than they are. Now it doesn't say, by saying that people are in need of explanation of the Quran, it's not to say that the Quran, for example, goes against sound thinking or logical thinking. In other words, there may be people who say, well, you know, wait a minute, I can figure this out for myself. I'm smart. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a biologist, I'm a rocket scientist, and so on and so forth, right? But that's not the point. Actually, what happens is many people, no matter how intelligent, the text can become confusing on them because they do not have certain fundamentals when it comes to the understanding of religious texts. We don't say that Islam or religion is something that's not to be understood. Wallahi, you mean many people, especially amongst the Christians, they tell you themselves, you aren't supposed to understand it. You just have to believe it. You're not supposed to understand it. They tell you that. When you put them in a corner or you ask them about this issue, or you say, well, that doesn't make sense, you say, well, you're not supposed to understand it. And it comes to the understanding of religious texts. We don't say that Islam or religion is something that's not to be understood. Wallahi, you mean many people, especially amongst the Christians, they tell you themselves, you aren't supposed to understand it. You just have to believe it. You're not supposed to understand it. They tell you that. When you put them in a corner or you ask them about this issue, or you say, well, that doesn't make sense, you say, well, you're not supposed to understand it. And if you read some commentary, you read some explanations of the Bible, I've even seen, and I don't agree with this as a Muslim, even though we don't agree that everything in the Bible is correct, I don't agree with people making fun of the Bible. You see? You should respect it for even the remnant it has of haq in it. I've seen people do parodies. They will take some words, they'll make sound like King James Version, and they'll put the explanation under there. You think it was real scriptural text because they see how to play with words. And this is the kind of play word that's done in some of the legitimate, quote-unquote legitimate, explanations of the Bible. When you read the Bible and you look in the footnotes, and you read the footnotes and you hold up, what is this? It's round, round, do-si-do. Now, Islam doesn't take that approach. So when I'm saying that we still are in need, even the most intelligent person, of explanation, it's not to say to people, you'll never understand the Quran, or it's not to be understood. So we're not taking that approach at all. But we find people that just because they have a degree or a doctorate or something or another, they think it gives them a right. And that's not true. Sometimes it can be the most off. You have to understand the Quran from specific methodology, which he's going to mention, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get through that. I'll get up to that, inshallah ta'ala. In fact, he said it's not possible that there be present in the Quran that which goes against correct thinking and which goes against what is sound sense. That goes against sense is nonsensical, or something that goes against what's in fact true and proven. This is not possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the Quran, or He made the Quran as a healer for that which is in the hearts of men, to make things clear to them. And there's no way that something could be in the Quran that does other than that, that goes against that. But what may happen is, over time, in certain places, in certain times, people may not know. They may not understand, you know, what did the Prophet bring to them. Either they may not understand it textually, you know, in the language. They might not understand a phrase. They might not understand some meaning and so forth, because they not know the Sunnah. There's people who have Quran. They don't have Sunnah. The point about these people who really, they deny the Sunnah and they take the Quran alone, subhanAllah, they're really a crime is being done. A big crime. The crime is that these people, their leaders, are telling them to stay away from that which would guide them. Stay away from that which would make this Quran clear to you. Stay away from that which will make this thing practical in your life. Stay away from that which will give you nobility, power, pride, honor. That's what they're saying. And they're hoodwinking them. They're ripping them off spiritually. And it's a crime. It's a big, big crime. We ask a lot of guidance. Because I'm sure there are people amongst them who are honestly searching for the truth. So, anyway, there is a methodology to understanding the book of Allah, which is revealed to Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a proper way to derive rulings from it. There's a proper way to do all of this from the point of view. Also, you know, one has to have knowledge of language, nahu and sarf, morphology and grammar, understanding eloquence, understanding sometimes what are the fundamentals of fiqh, the rules of fiqh, for example. Sometimes you also need to have a knowledge of what is abrogated and what's abrogated. You see? You have to have a knowledge of the reasons of revelation sometimes. So you have a lot of aspects that come into the proper understanding of the Quran that many people just do not have. It is indeed a noble undertaking to learn the Quran, the most noble of things. And he says here, finally, to wrap this up, there's three matters that have to be kept in mind or are important. First of all, the subject matter is that it is indeed the word of Allah, as we'll get. So this is the most highest and greatest thing. So knowledge in this area is the greatest of knowledge. Second, the intent. The intent behind one understanding the Quran is to hold tight to the most trustworthy handhold, to get true happiness. This is the issue. It's not just intellectual exercise, in other words. And three, understanding the intense necessity and need to do so. SubhanAllah. That which has to do with the perfection, religious perfection, and temporal, dunya, worldly, completion and perfection, now or later, is connected with it. It's connected with the Book of Allah. The Book of Allah is not something that just as it can be known or looked at from a point of view of just, you know, people's opinions and their desires, I think this, I think that. It has a manhaj. There's a tariq to understanding the Quran. And he's going to talk about this in this detail. Four basic ways. First, the Quran is understood by the Quran. Tafsir al-Quran, the Quran. Then tafsir al-Quran, the Sunnah. And then the tafsir al-Quran, the Aqwal al-Sahaba. That is the explanation of the Quran from the point of view of the Sunnah. And third, the explanation of the understanding of the Quran from the statements of the companions. And fourth, tafsir al-Quran, the Aqwal al-Tabi'een. Understanding the Quran by the statements of the Tabi'een. And something he didn't put here, but he may kind of mention it as a sub-point, the scholars mentioned, of course, is understanding the Quran by the Arabic language. But none of these can be done alone. They all go work together. So with that, inshallah, we'll close and continue this, inshallah ta'ala. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ